Welcome to another part of Bugs Radio. This is part 6. I'm Adelheim, and today I'm here with Icelandic Creator. And now we're going to talk about, among other things, your experience with actually using the mantra in a live interview. So, welcome to the program, Creator.
Thank you, Adelheim, and hello, Bugsters. It's been some crazy time for the last few months with the mantra activity and racial activity in Iceland.
Please tell us how you actually got to be on a radio show talking about the mantra.
Well, the mantra got a big traction in views here in Iceland, and somehow they found my telephone number. And then they gave me a call and asked if I wanted to be on radio show. I said, of course, sure, no problem. And it did okay. It was all right. I went in it was my first radio interview or interview live on a radio show. So I had no idea what I was going up against or what would happen. So I thought about my main agenda with that radio show was to have a talking point, something that I wanted to repeat over and over again as much as I could fit into the conversation that was going, because it's only about 10-15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes or something. And I had my talking points for the first show was that this multiculti, or whatever you want to call it, is happening in all white countries, in every white country. And I think I said that sentence for about 7 or 8 times.
Yeah, all and only.
Yeah, all and only, all and only, all and only, repeatedly. So I had a little fun with that. It's just because this subject is so new, so you have to have something to repeat all the time, repetitive, just to force it into the minds of the listeners.
Yeah, so did you read the mantra first?
No, the mantra was played before they called me.
Oh.
So played in full, and we talked about the mantra after that. And they did the usual anti-white arguments, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, do you remember some of them?
Not specifically, but the usual, there is no such thing as white race and colonialism and so on. So
yeah, first they said white people don't exist, and then they blamed white people for colonialism.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I've had 2 other interviews after that in radio stations, and they used the same argument over and over again. Blaming us for all the bad things and then denying that we exist, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, they are very creative, so.
Not really, no, as we have seen on the comment section on YouTube specifically, and we have. I have seen that they have streamlined the answers. The Bugsters have streamlined their answers and they use humor. I love it when they use humor, make fun of them.
Yeah,
that's what gets the anti-whites mad. And when they're mad, they're unstable, and then they make mistakes. So, fun, humor, I love it. It's brilliant.
Yeah, a lot of it. Yeah, you need some humor, I think. So
you must have it. It's a crazy world, so just laugh at it sometimes.
These are people that don't understand we need children to survive, so they aren't very bright.
No, they're just, it's this shallow thinking, it's just indoctrinations. They're just they don't get any opposite views when they are in school and during their education, and it's just, it's horrible. It's like they're going to a church all the time instead of school.
Yeah.
And a couple of days ago, high school radio station called me up, and we had a good chat for about, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes. Okay. And some of it was about the mantra, not much, but some of it, and And I used the usual talking point. I went pretty easy on them. They're just kids, you know, 17, 16, 17 years old. So I went out pretty easy on them. But still, I stuck to the main message and the talking points. And it was kind of fun because they went round in circles all the time.
Do you remember something they said?
Yes, they tried to ask me a silly question like, well, if you had Tyra Banks, the model, in front of you, and then a really, really, really ugly white chick, who would you go to bed with if you had to do it? I mean, come on, it's just kids playing, so it's... So I went a little easy on them. But it was a bit hard talking on the phone outside in the rain, chasing my dog, so I was a little preoccupied with something else when I was talking to them. So next time I'll be a lot more like boxers are on YouTube, a lot more aggressive and more demanding.
Yeah, so how did you prepare for the interview? You said somewhat you just decided one talking point or a couple of talking points.
Yes, for the first interview I had in mind to do all white countries and only white countries, and the next interview I went into for the same radio station and the same radio show, I wanted to say the word anti-white as often as I could. And I think I got it in about 10 or 12 times.
Yeah.
So I had an agenda, because this word anti-white is new. And I was up against the host of the radio show, and he had his friend with him, who is a rapper or a vicar or basically the most white nigger in Iceland.
Okay.
And I started the radio interview by saying that he was the most anti-white person in Iceland, so...
Yeah, you started with attack words.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Straight on, and so I set it up from there, so they were just... They never attacked me during the interview. They tried to be on the offensive, but I always stayed on the talking points and on our arguments, and I kept them off for most part.
Yeah, it's...
And accused them and name-calling them and so on. So it was great.
Yeah. Do you think it's easy to do it or hard or...?
It's a bit difficult at the start. You have to train it a little bit, but... Yeah, because I'm not an offensive person. You know, I'm rather defensive in all my life, you know, in conversation with people. I'm not argumentative or I'm not good at debating, so I'm almost like I'm acting when I have to be on offensive in debates. So it's a bit difficult, but if you can pull up feelings, strong feelings, then it's fun. You can have fun with it too.
Yeah,
it's gonna be better and better and better and better with practice.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they were in English, so we could listen to them.
Yeah.
So yes. Maybe you could write what they said and what you said in a response sometime.
Yeah, I could do that, but it's the usual BS that we see all the time on YouTube comments.
Okay.
It's the same thing, just translated.
Yeah. So you haven't met a single new statement from them?
No, not really. Nothing new.
No, it's the same thing in Norway.
That's the problem we have now here in Iceland and probably in other non-English-speaking countries, that those who are new to the mantra in a new country or not non-English-speaking country, they have to sit down and take a good time in translating the mantra, the comments, the best comments from the YouTube section, for example, or general comments on books, and then try to streamline it into their own language and make it workable when they are in debates. So it's a bit of a problem and takes a lot of time and work to do that. And yes, we are in the process of doing that now here in Iceland. So we're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah, so you're a group in Iceland?
Well, we are three now, three people, and we're trying to expand it. And we are going to, our mission is now is to get about eight would be optimal people, and make a little, what I would call a mantra wolf pack that will go around on the internet, on the Icelandic forums and comment section in newspapers and things like that, wherever we can put our foot in the door, and then just go systematically and destroy them on the internet here in Iceland, Icelandic.
That sounds good.
So it's a work in progress, and we're gonna use the summer to set everything up, and then next when the school starts in September, August, September, then we're gonna hit them.
Yeah, that's sort of what we're doing on a general comment section.
Yeah. It's basically the same thing they have been doing on YouTube.
Yeah,
basically just in another language in another country. So yeah, it's the same.
If you can manage eight people in Iceland, that would be very good.
So. Yeah, very good. Yeah, it's going to be difficult, but I think we can maybe get six in 1 month, 2 months maybe, and then add it from there.
Yeah. How do you explain the mantra to other pro-whites on Iceland?
Oh, man. It's I don't know. It's just handing a machine gun to an aborigine and telling him how effective it is, and he just looks at it and says okay, and then never uses it.
Yeah.
And then picks up bow and arrow and tries to get his next meal. It's ridiculous. But yeah. when they try it, and they get this aha moment, like, oh, okay, this is how it should be done. Yes, and then it works. So and then it's just. And it's no problem after that.
Yeah. So if they experience it themselves,
they have to try it out themselves. That's the only thing they can have this, get this aha moment, get the understanding.
Yeah, interesting.
But I was having a conversation with my good friend here in Iceland who tried it just, I think last week, for the first time.
Okay.
And he got this aha moment, and there's a I think Pete White Rabbit on Bucksters who was also commenting on the same YouTube video, and he sent him a private message on YouTube and encouraged him so he got some positive feedback from a Buckster, and that was what really made him more and more interested in doing more and more of it, and he took down two antivites personally in those comment section, and so he was ecstatic. He called me just a few minutes afterwards, and he was like a little girl getting her Christmas gifts, and oh, this is fun, hey, this works, and all excited, and it was fantastic. But I had been hammering him for about 4 to 6 months. Each and every time I talked to him, I was talking about how great the mantra was.
Yeah.
And he never understood it until he tried it himself.
No.
So it was fun. But I was talking with him about this, and he said there are two things that those who are new to the mantra have to understand in detail. That is, have a deep understanding of the mantra, all the words in it, and what they mean, really mean. And then they have to understand the law, the genocide law.
Mm-hmm.
The concept and how to use the definition of it and how, why the, I don't know how to say this, but, the genocide law is so open to interpretation. You can if a government raises house prices so the people cannot afford housing, you can put it under basic genocide law if they're not having children as well. So
yeah, you have to take everything the anti-whites do, basically.
Yeah. So they need to have this deep understanding of what the genocide law really means.
Yeah.
So when they have those two things, the deep understanding of the mantra and of the genocide law, it makes it so much easier for them to argue against anti-whites.
Yeah.
And not go off in a balloon like talking suddenly about language or culture or
crime statistics or something.
Yeah, news and juice and whatever.
Yeah.
So when they have this deep understanding, they can always reverse back to the mantra again and again and again, and point out genocide law. So
you find it effective if we teach other pro-white people the entire situation?
Yeah, we emphasize the mantra and the genocide law. Yeah, especially that those two main points. And then always have fun, fun. It's fun.
Yeah, it is really. It can be very interesting when you're finding a forum and you're just handing in the mantra and. Yeah. Just having fun because they're saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah, exactly.
You heard a thousand times before.
Yeah.
So you can basically just have the answers written down on beforehand and just edit them in a little way.
Yeah, it is almost copy-paste when you get the hang of it. You can have an open, pick open word document and then just copy paste. It's when you get a little practice with it, like I had on our own mantra, Icelandic mantra video, it was mostly just copy paste.
Yeah.
And then you try to twist it a little bit, make some fun or something, and
yeah, you might have to adjust it to the situation. But,
a little bit. But always the main part is the same.
Yeah, basically we could just write and document and put in all the answers.
yeah, that's what I've been doing. Well, not lately, but first when I was in doing this mantra and when I was exposed to this concept and everything, I just had an open document on my desktop and a document on my desktop that when I saw a good comment or saw some good text, I just copy pasted it into that document, and now it's I think 40 pages long. So
in Icelandic,
for the most part I have to translate it. So it's for the most part it's in Icelandic now. So. And I put up a blog with fightwhitegenocideiceland.blogspot.com with the mantra and the what I call the mini mantra and answers.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
For all to see and for all to use. And this is just a work in progress. We have to do more of it and find better answers and better sentences and shorten our message and
yeah, we can always try to improve it. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Just keep an open mind, be creative, and. And you are creative and have an open mind when you're having fun. It's fun to win.
Yeah, I'm sitting with the people on Skype, and we're discussing, okay, now this anti-white said this again, and we're laughing because it's basically very fun, you know. They don't say anything new, and...
No, it's the same thing. So they are saying the same thing. Like I think it was Bob Whitaker who was writing that they were just basic tape recorders.
Yeah, mommy professors tape recorders or something.
something like that. So when you're up against those tape recorders time and time again, you relax and then you have fun. You change a little bit and you make fun of them because you're so much better than that. you know it more and you're more trained, and then you can have fun, like somebody in the first league playing the fourth league.
Yeah.
Sports, same thing.
Yeah. So to explain this to other pro whites, as you just said, what just to sum it up, what we should do is to try to teach in the macro view of things. No, it's just not immigration that's a genocide, but it's also immigration, integration, assimilation, promotion of intermarriage, and so
yeah, you can basically hook so many things into it. Yeah. Like you can economics, like I said, housing prices, bad paycheck, or something like that. You can hook everything into this if you want to. So it's just, like Simon said on the comment section a couple of days ago, we have a track record now in winning. We have all those YouTube videos, and we have the articles in comment sections all over the internet where we have been winning and winning and winning and winning. So we have a track record in winning, and people always want to join the winning side.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, so this is just going to be snowballing from now on, when people realize that we are doing things and we are winning argument after argument, and it doesn't take a lot of time and a lot of text to do it.
No, once you understand it, it's much, much easier. And I feel so much more confident now, because they haven't said anything I can't answer.
That is true, yeah. I love it when you can say, are you justifying genocide with that or this? I absolutely love it when you can go into this genocide and the mantra again and again with this word justify. It's wonderful. It makes it so much easier.
Once you understand anti-white mentality, you sort of know what they're going to say. You know, okay, now they're going to come up with another thing. That's yes, and they always try to position themselves like, okay, I'm not anti-white, I just happen to argue for something that accidentally leads towards a world without white people.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, when you see their traps or their games away ahead of themselves, it's great. It's great.
And they say, you know, one white person marrying a non-white person isn't genocide. So, yeah. And then you have to sort of explain to them, well, you have immigration, you have integration, you have intermarriage, you have to combine the thing for all white countries. Mm-hmm. It's not being pushed on Japan. And the thing they do, for example, in Sweden or in Norway and probably all over the Western world, is anti-whites talk about freedom. But if white people actually move like they do in White Flight, an area, and you know, using freedom, trying to be with other white people, the government actually force integrate.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And then they promote intermarriage, and then they condemn everyone who posts intermarriage, and then they talk about a brown future. So, what is their intent? you have to put the things together.
It is really funny when you put it like this. So obvious, straight out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to.
The best thing about this. It's we make it so obvious. Point out this glaring, obvious thing happening straight in front of them that they haven't noticed before.
They have a micro view of things, and we have a macro view. They cannot comprehend sort of that. There's a link between immigration and integration.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And that, as I mentioned before on this radio, that they want to talk about one refugee who magically escaped some country and is coming to Norway and we must take care of him.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, they tried to use that on me, but yeah, same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing that worked for me when I was debating on the radio show against that most anti-white person in Iceland, I called him. When I pulled up the situation in Tibet, what the Chinese are doing in Tibet. That really shut them up, because they are very concerned about the Tibetan people and blah, blah, blah. And they said the same thing is happening here in white countries, and they just, they had no idea what they should say next, so they, it was brilliant.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one thing that we can use more, maybe use the situation in Tibet, what the Chinese are doing there, because it's so obvious to the anti-whites and the anarchists, and they are fighting against this happening, so we use it.
Yes, you know, we should use all kinds of things. And another thing with indigenous people, as I might mention before too, is that in America, the anti-whites protect the indigenous people because the indigenous people are non-white. But in Britain, the indigenous people are white, so then you're, of course, an evil person if you care about indigenous people.
Yeah, so, yeah.
That's another point you can make.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just... there's a lot of points you can use.
Yeah, but one thing, you know, as Bob talked about in his blog, one of the problems is that they want to talk in micro terms, so they might say, okay, what do you have against this immigrant creator? Yeah, what do you have against this immigrant? And what is your response if they say something like that?
My response is, I want the same freedom as everybody else. I want a freedom of association.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah, I want to do what I want to do. Why are you forcing me to accept this person rather than that person?
Yeah, it's interesting to hear what your response
is. If I choose this person, why is it a problem for you? And if I don't want to associate myself with that person, why are you having a problem with it? That's between me and him, not you.
Yeah.
You can go like that, or like you put it, go on the macro level and say that this is just a small...
A small part of the genocide.
Maybe. Exactly, that's what I think.
Yeah. Well, yes, I was just thinking that in a debate, you know, you might say something like, okay, you know, no, I have nothing against immigrants per se. What I have something against is immigration, integration, and assimilation for all white countries, being pushed on only white countries, not Japan.
Yeah.
And if you make some kinds of points there, you know, you're just explaining what you're against. That might work, but I'm not as experienced as you are, so...
Well, experienced. Well, it's, I don't see myself as an experienced... No,
but at least I've been on radio, so I have...
Yes, I have, and... I hope this will continue. It was a surprise call when one of the high school radio station called me a couple of days ago, and I had very little time to prepare for it. But next time, I hope it will be even better, and I will be more aggressive and take them. Really take them on and put them up against the wall and take them down. My next plan for next week is trying to get on a TV show.
Wow.
Next Wednesday. I'm going to really put a squeeze on that TV host, the guy who controls that TV show, because he himself wrote an article about the so-called low culture, how the low culture is so popular with the general public. And he was trying to put himself on a higher moral high ground or something like that. And he wrote that three of his most popular shows was when he interviewed basically Nazis. The views on the internet from that single show was only 7 minutes, because he absolutely blew his interview with them, that there were 30,000 people watching it.
So yeah, that's in Iceland.
That's 10% of the population.
Yeah, that's who saw the pretty show. Good ratings.
Yeah, very good ratings. So he knows that racism sells, and his ratings are very low. So it's really ridiculous if he doesn't put me on his show.
What sells is people giving a pro-white view of things.
Excuse me?
You could say that what is selling is people giving a pro-white view on things.
Yeah, because they haven't heard it before for many years. And then I got a feeling that the general public here in Iceland know that something is not right, something is wrong. They're not comfortable with what is happening, and they want to know why, and they want to hear more views, and they're curious.
Yeah, and people like you might are able to express their feelings, maybe.
Yeah, that's my agenda, and my goal is to put those words out, like anti-white, the word anti-white, and basically just give them permission to attack those multicultural idiots.
Yeah, the anti-whites.
Yeah, nobody has given them permission to go up against the professors or up against the not professors, it's the preachers and the politicians and the media.
So yeah, it's really great. So
so when I'm going on the next radio show or TV show, I always keep in mind that I am trying to give the audience permission to use my talking points and my material and be in an attack mode.
Yeah.
Stand up to them. Raise hell. Yeah.
And that's kind of different attitude than a lot of pro-whites.
Yeah, very, very different.
Yeah.
Very different. They always, when other racists or pro-whites or whatever you want to call them, or they are called, they always go up in this balloon or that balloon, and they're always on the defensive.
Yeah, they try. Yeah,
every time they're on the defensive.
Trying to explain why they're not racists.
Yeah, exactly. And then another thing that I have is that I am an ordained minister in the creativity religion of creativity. It's a white racial religion, so we embrace the word racist. It's not a problem for us. Absolutely
okay.
No problem. So so I have it both from a religious perspective and then from a racial perspective. So it's good. It's good backup for doing.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking in terms of what people think of when they hear the word. So.
Yeah.
That's quite different than what you.
Yes,
think
just of. When they hear this words, when the radio show starts up, those who are doing the radio show, they think they're going to be attacking me. So yeah. when I answer back, and then I go on the offensive and attack them and accuse them and I call them names, repeatedly and never defend anything they are trying to do. It's just, it demoralizes them.
Yeah, it must be pretty sad to lose all the time for the anti-whites nowadays.
Well, I hope so. It's very sad for them, yeah.
I saw one video on YouTube where a guy was very frustrated.
Good. Yeah,
an anti-white.
Yeah, that the Moron Manifesto or something. it was fun. It was very fun.
And then never able to say anything. You just say, we're one race, the human race.
No, the best thing is that they have no idea how really ridiculous they look when they try to answer it. When they try to do their own thing and answer the mantra. It's pathetic.
Yeah. I haven't seen anyone, you know, wanting to flood Africa and having a world without Africans. Arguing, we're all one race, the human race.
me neither. Never seen anything.
It's sort of like if people saying, oh, in order to get rid of racism, we should have all colored people adopting white children, because then we're just one skin color and there won't be any racism in the world.
I'll so, be in hell.
Oh. Yeah, don't you think the anti-fascists would agree to that? Because they don't care about skin color, you know?
Yeah, exactly. No,
they're just neutral, so...
Very neutral, and they think the neutral is brown.
Yeah, so...
They think that brown is neutral. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, yeah, when you look at it.
Yeah, they're anti-white, so...
Yeah, the best answer that anti-whites can give us is no answer at all. They have to just ignore us as much as they can.
Yeah.
That's the only possible solution for them.
Some anti-whites are trying to be very upset at us and spending hours upon hours. And then they say that that's because they don't care.
Yeah, they're funny people.
Yeah. They don't care about this. Yeah, they don't care about skin color, so they're very interested in having brown people move into white areas. Yeah, because they don't care, you know. Yeah.
I think they're trying to save our souls or something. I don't know what their agenda is. Spending hour after hour after hour doing something that they really think is meaningless and ridiculous. They are insane, I think. Yeah. Religious fanatics.
Yeah.
That's what they are. Religious fanatics.
They think they're doing something virtuous and good, but it's just treason, so.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, when you point it out to them that they're doing the worst possible thing for their own people, then sometimes it gets through, but very seldom.
Yeah.
They're just too far gone, many of them. That's okay. You always have to keep in mind you're talking to the audience. You're trying always not argue one on one, but try to argue always when somebody else is listening. Yeah. Because basically, white people, they hate fanatics. Fanatics are fun for a couple of hours, for a few days, for a few weeks, but then the fanatic people are boring and they're annoying and. They go too far, and white people usually don't like them. So you have
to that's right.
Keep in mind, and then you have to always preach to the audience.
Yes, that's what I try to do when I post comments and stuff for the people reading.
Yeah, it's like I explained explanation I gave a friend of mine after the first radio interview I had. When I was up against that wigger, and I called him an anti-white many, many times, what my goal is to get the audience hearing it, this word, and then use it later in a private conversation, maybe, when perhaps he's at a party and he goes into his multi-culti idiotic, preaching. And then somebody stands up and says, shut up, you anti-white.
Yeah.
That's a shut-up word.
When he's spewing his anti-white hatred around.
Yeah, just if one of his friends stands up and he's getting bored with him and says this word anti-white to him in his face in a private party, that's my goal. Yeah. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Stop being anti-white.
Yeah. They're just getting bored with him, and they're going to use this word on him later. So,
yeah, because basically another thing we're doing here is that we're taking the moral high ground. We're showing people that, you know, we're not evil Nazis who wants to kill 6 million Jews.
We
want, you know, we think that all races have a right to exist, including our race, the white race. but when we say that the white race have a right to exist, the people who call themselves anti-racist becomes very, very angry for some reason.
Very angry. Yeah, when you take the victim card and you put it in your pocket, that's really gets many of them very, very upset and angry.
Yeah, no, how can white people be a victim?
They are evil people. My professor said so.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you twist it and turn it around and throw it in the face. Ah, it's wonderful.
You set the record straight.
Yeah, you do, and you, it royally upsets them, and that's when they are upset, they make mistakes, and I love that.
Yeah, they make mistakes every time, but especially when they're upset.
Oh yeah. So humor, emotional, getting them emotional and stable, and going on the offensive, attack. They're not used to getting attacks, so we must attack them.
Yeah,
that keeps them off balance, and when they're off balance, they make mistakes, and that's where you go in, and you exploit those mistakes to the most of your advantage.
Making your points
over and over again for the audience, if you possibly can, because they need to hear it. They need those words. They need those phrases to use on those antivites later in a private conversations.
Very good point.
Well, yeah, thanks. I got this from White Rabbit Radio Show, I think. Oh, I love that guy. Horace, if you're listening, thanks a million for your shows. They're brilliant.
They are. So.
Oh, yeah, they are. Absolutely. And he is so positive. He is so optimistic, positive. That's the best part with his show, mostly, what I think about it.
Yes, and, you know, we can be very positive now because we can as I said, there's nothing anti-whites can say that we can't answer.
Exactly. So, we are winning.
Yeah.
Finally. So it's good. It's a good feeling. But now we have to find ways to spread the love.
Yeah. The next step. So, well.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, do you have any more points you want to make?
Not for now. I hope I will be on that TV show next week. That will be a first. I think I've never been on a TV before, but so what?
You know what you're going to say, so.
Try everything once.
Yeah.
And if it's good, do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. Have fun. So, if I will be on that TV show, I hope to hear from you again, and we can make another interview about that, or another radio show, short one, about that experience and how it came through.
Mm. Yeah, that would be great.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
Yeah, thanks for now.
Bye-bye. And
thanks for all your good works you're doing, Bugsters. Keep it going.
Yep, you have to do that, all of you.
Cheers.
So, thanks for coming, and hope to speak to you someday later.
Soon, I hope. Thanks, Adelheim.
Yep. Bye-bye.